United States v. Smith, Mr. Ginsburg.
May it please the Court, I'm Bill Ginsburg. I'm appearing today on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Smith. Your Honor, in this particular case, this is really pretty simple. It's just an analysis of two statutes, one of which is 921A20, which talks about convictions which count and then which are exempted. And the statute talks about a situation where if there's a restoration of civil rights, then it doesn't count for the federal sentencing guidelines purposes. And in Wisconsin, with Mr. Smith's case, there is no discharge paper that says, as far as we know, any of your civil rights have been restored. So that's absent, and so we have a statute that restores civil rights.
And also another statute that exempts gun ownership, right?
I'm sorry?
Also another statute that says something about gun ownership. So if he's going to find one statute, why doesn't he find both statutes and realize that he does not, in fact, have an across-the-board?
Well, I guess that's the whole argument. And my argument would be that if the state says, look, we have a state law that says you're a felon, you can't possess a firearm, so be it. In Wisconsin, if you want to prosecute him in state court, great. But we have a federal statute that says if your civil rights are restored, then it doesn't count under our statute. And Congress passed that law. And so when you start interpreting state law, saying, well, we're going to use state law interpretation to decide whether the federal law applies, I think that it's confusing because, yes, this would be a crime that in your state court would count. However, the second sentence, which the federal courts don't want to get to, is that there's a restoration of civil rights. And I don't see how we can keep taking the position. The court can keep saying those civil rights aren't restored.
But what we've said is the idea is not to mislead people. And if the discharge paper that Wisconsin mysteriously doesn't keep all of, as we know from other cases, if it actually printed out both of these Wisconsin statutes, nobody would be misled. Now, in fact, since the discharge paper says nothing in particular about this, at least the one you put in at A29 just says, be and hereby is discharged, he's not going to be misled by a thing in that. He really just hasn't been given any information, period.
Right. Well, I tend to disagree with the argument that discharge papers are significant, even though the case law says they are, because the statute does not refer to discharge papers. It just says if your civil rights are restored, it doesn't count. And why we now say you have to get a discharge paper saying that, I don't understand. I realize it's the case law.
Well, the question is, were his civil rights in relevant respect restored when you take Wisconsin law as a whole?
Absolutely.
Said no in other cases. I think you have it.
The most recent case that this court has come down with in Gillum, which is recent, there's a footnote 8 where you address Gillum because Gillum had a letter that said you can vote and you can hold elective office. You left the rest out. And then you went on and said, you know, by the way, what if there was no statute in the Illinois code that says felons can't possess a firearm? The point of this is the footnote acknowledges that Gillum's civil rights all were restored by statute. So the point is if we assume that citizens understand the law, then I have to be knowledgeable that my civil rights are restored. And I can be confused by that musty other statute floating around somewhere else in the code that says a felon that we define you as in Wisconsin can't possess a firearm. And the court raised that issue saying, well, what if with the code just put them one right next to each other? My argument's still the same. Even if you could be prosecuted in state court as a felon in possession of a firearm, you still have a United States statute that says if your civil rights are restored, they don't count. And they're restored by statute.
Except for guns.
No, it doesn't say except for guns in that statute. It just says if your civil rights are restored.
It doesn't say in that statute.
Well, then fine, the state can prosecute him, but the federal government can't because the federal government has created its own statute that simply says if civil rights are restored, this doesn't apply, notwithstanding all the case law to the contrary.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Do you know of any cases where we've acknowledged this sort of argument you're making?
No. Although, I mean, again, starting from Dollar, starting with Irwin, all these cases, why anybody ever said you have to have a discharge paper, I don't know. the statute speaks for itself. This is law school one. You know, if it's unambiguous, then that's how you apply it. And so how the court has crafted these additional requirements onto that statute, I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ginsburg. Ms. Rumbelow?
Your Honor, Section 921A20 of Title 18 specifically states that any person who has been pardoned or has had civil rights restored shall not be considered a conviction for purposes of this chapter unless such pardon, expungement, or restoration of civil rights expressly provides that the person may not ship, transport, possess, or receive firearms. And as Judge Wood previously noted, Wisconsin state law restores civil rights, but then in another section of the code, they do provide the express notice that is referred to in Title 18, Section 921A20, telling the person, you may not possess firearms. Wisconsin
prohibits. Are prisoners given some kind of sheet when they're discharged, when they're let out, telling them what they can do and can't do? Or are they actually expected to look up statutes?
In Mr. Smith's case, the case at issue here, he didn't receive a discharge certificate. The document that he has been relying on is just a discharge from parole.
But what did he get? I mean, I guess Judge Posner's question was a more general one. Do we sort of let people out and hope that they're good with Westlaw, or do we tell them, you know, by the way, we're letting you out, but you're not going to be able to buy a firearm?
No. I mean,
we don't tell them. We just sort of let them risk it?
I think most felons know they can't possess firearms. I mean, especially in the state of Wisconsin. If they do receive a piece of paper purporting to restore all of their civil rights, then there has to be the express provision in the document saying you may not possess firearms. But it's this circuit's case law. If the document is silent as to civil rights, it doesn't have to provide that notice saying you may not possess firearms, and that has been established by virtue of the Wisconsin state statutes. They've had civil rights restored, but yet in a separate section of the code, and Gillum just held this, they've been provided express notice that they may not possess firearms.
Why
therefore
do you think all felons know they're not allowed to have a gun?
Pardon me?
Why do you think all felons know they're not?
Your Honor, I think it's just my personal I've been prosecuting firearms cases at the federal level for 10 years, and prior to this, I used to be an ATF agent, and I think every felon I came across knew they can't have guns. The word on the street, it's just they know they can't possess firearms. It's just, you know, they're told usually by serving probation, parole, something, after they're convicted, you know, sentencing courts will often advise them, you know, you could lose your right to possess firearms. And so, but the issue only becomes, once they are discharged, what happens? If they get the piece of paper, and it says all of your civil rights have been restored, and the piece of paper fails to tell them they may not possess firearms, then they're not prohibited under Title 18. That didn't happen in this case. All he received, Mr. Smith received, was a discharge from parole, period. It didn't mention civil rights at all. Then he relies on the Wisconsin state statutes, and this case is analogous to Gillum with the Illinois state statutes. Civil rights are restored, however, there's the separate statute that says you may not possess firearms because you've been convicted of a felony offense, and that satisfies the notice requirement of Title 18, Section 921A20. Therefore, Mr. Smith was properly sentenced as an armed career criminal.
Is that true? If a person is convicted of an antitrust violation, does that he can't possess a hunting rifle or something?
If he's convicted of a felony offense, yes.
It doesn't matter if it's a peaceful felony.
It does not matter.
You know, you could almost draw the opposite inference, though, just looking at the standard terms of supervised release. And it says, if defendant has been convicted of a felony, defendant shall not possess a firearm, destructive device, or other dangerous weapon while on supervised release. Well, actually, it means forever, but it says while on supervised release. Kind of an interesting issue there.
That is interesting. Maybe the notice of terms of conditions of supervised release should be amended. I know that recently we amended conditions of pretrial release in the Western District to reflect that persons who are under indictment may not receive firearms.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, escaping the court's attention for a while, so that could definitely be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Probation or pretrial services. unless the court has any questions, I ask you for a judgment.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rumbelow. Mr. Ginsburg, how much time do we have? 5 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. We just get back to the issue of the difference between federal law and state law, that even though there's a state statute that says we consider you a felon, so you can't possess firearms, so be it. There's a federal statute that says if your civil rights are restored, this doesn't count. And I think what this court has to ask themselves is, gosh, that seems to exclude all the felons in America from being prosecuted in federal court. Congress passed that statute. It's unambiguous. And I think the court sits here, must say to itself, wait a minute, we've got to interpret this so it makes sense. And so you start parsing the state statute, for example, and you say, well, they passed this law, and we adopt the law of the state as they see it. Even if the state sees that person as a felon under their definition, the state doesn't have this exemption.
But you know, the problem with your argument, I think, is what they sometimes refer to as documents or sources of equal dignity. I mean, you can't give somebody a release paper that says your civil rights are restored and then hope that they'll find this section of the Wisconsin statute, because they might not. But when both the restoration and the exception are in exactly the same kind of place, it seems quite reasonable to read them as a package. So when, as I said, almost documents of equal dignity, there's your problem, because it gets down fundamentally to notice. And you don't want to trick people into thinking they can go out and buy a gun, which, frankly, the rules do differ among the states. Some states are more liberal, other states are more restrictive. But here, Wisconsin's put them in both in the same kind of place.
Well, I'm tricked, Your Honor. I've been studying this for today's purposes, and the fact is I can't reconcile the paradox that the federal statute says if my rights are restored, it doesn't count, and I acknowledge that I better not have a gun as far as Wisconsin law is concerned. And that's a paradox, and we're in the federal court here to deal with it. And I would just argue the federal court can't prosecute because you've already accepted it, notwithstanding the state court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Ginsburg, you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes. Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.